Inner Shabbos Afrilich in Chanukah Parshas Vayeshev Shabbos Chanukah. A quick thought on Chanukah and the Parsha. When Yosef is coming to greet his brothers, so Chassam Sefer says that they tried every method of taking him down step by step. Before he even got to them, they were shooting arrows at him. It seems like Yosef continued walking towards them. They released wild dogs to attack him. Yosef continued walking towards them. So he has, you know, I don't know, an arrow on his shoulder. He has a dog on his, you know, a pit bull on his leg. Picture this. And then Reuben says, you know, let's not kill him, let's put him in a pit. Okay, Pashas, I think it's the Kliyoker, it says that the man said they didn't actually sell him. They put him in the pit, and then someone else sold him while they were eating their bread. Interesting. Change of perspective. Yosef kept walking. What was he doing? So Yitzchak Berkowitz says, there was a tremendous divide that was happening between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef thought that his brothers were being over under three Averis Chamuris. They were being Mezalzel, and then the B'nai Shvachos, and Chashud Mal Arayas. Yosef held that there were serious problems with his brothers. The brothers, on the other hand, they held that Yosef was a Moirid B'malchus, a Baal Lashon Hara, narcissistic. I mean, you hear these dreams, you guys are going to bow down to me? My son, nothing's really changed. Chanukah, you have Hellenists who are telling the from remaining Jews, the Chashmonoim and their Chevra, you guys are old school, you're missing the boat. The Yevonim have ways of experiencing the world the way the Rebbe Shalom wants us to. There's so much to learn from them. Don't be archaic. And then the Yidden are looking at the Hellenists, saying, you're losing your way. The minus of the war was more between the Jews and the Hellenists than it was between the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks didn't really care much. Until the Hellenists actually opened up the gates of Yerushalayim and let them in to fight, you know, take over. There's a chasm between people who don't see eye to eye. And it's a big chaval, because no two people see things the same way. Our avoda, this Chanukah, and our avoda, the sixth parasha, our avoda in this war, and in this, right now, the step before Geula, while we're still in the darkness, it's the chap. We're in the darkness. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you look like. I don't know what you're up against. I can't put together every piece that created your perspective on this matter. But there's certain things that I do know. Now, Tanya says you have two people standing in a room. If you look at them from the outside of what they look like and what they're doing, there's many, many divisions between us. But if you look at their neshama, you look at the spiritual, the primius, we're almost identical. We have a lot more in common than we do that divide us. And Hashem's gonna watch out for us. Hashem sees this kid's getting along. You know, if a kid really, really wants to bother his parents, don't do anything to the parents. Start fighting with a brother. You know, there's nothing that cuts into a parent more than seeing his kids fighting. There's nothing that brings a parent more nachas than to see his kids getting along. Now there are a lot of soldiers who are spending their Chanukah in Gaza. It's machlokes whether Gaza is in Eretz Yisrael, but they had to spend their Chanukah in Chutz Laaretz. It's at least their problems, right? There are millions of stories. Each person probably gets to hear 15 of them, depending how connected you are and how much you're thirsting for a maisala. But there are millions of stories. Every parent, every sibling, every soldier. Every kid has a story, wherever they are in the world. I have a cousin, he has two children in the army. And this war's been going on for a long time. And it's very hard. It's very, very hard. You don't know where your son is for weeks on end. Security doesn't allow. You can't just track. You know, you can't have your phone on. You can't just track them on Waze, you know? So what are you supposed to do? It's hard. At a certain point, one night, their mother sits down at the dining room table and just breaks down crying. I don't know where my son is. I don't know if he's alive. He's in a war zone. And her husband comes home, sits down next to her, sees her crying. He's a tough guy, but he cries along with her. And they were just sitting there crying, davening, and just like, I'm out of juice. As they're sitting there crying, the phone rings and their son calls them for the first time in weeks. Hey, I'm here, I'm fine. Thank you for worrying about me. It's not a crazy story, but it's beautiful. And it tells us that in the darkest times when we feel the most, the darkest, everything looks black. One little candle, first night of Hanukkah, it's one light. Yeah, someone moved in to a non-Jewish neighborhood in America, and it was, you know, it was Krasmich time, so everyone has their neon, their whole house is just like emblazoned with, you know, all these clauses and rainbows and merry-go-rounds and who knows, trees. And you know, he comes and lights his one candle on Hanukkah. And his kids felt, you know, that we're being overshadowed. Until it was a blackout. This out of town, it was pitch black. And everyone came to their from neighbor to hop a candle so they could see around their house. Candles are real. Candles are real. Hanukkah is real. Light is real. The reason why a little bit of light is doich has so much choshech is because light is real and darkness isn't. And you know, the darker it gets, the brighter our light shines. Good Shabbos, a freilichin Chanukah.